Blog Talk Radio.
Alrighty, and this is Bonnie Elvis on air. Today, on Friday, we're having a special edition. I think we've got Bonnie, and I think we got Maggie. Is everybody there?
Hi! Hi! I have to keep it down. Remember, I am not in my garage yet today. I have been, if I talk, I have to go into the garage. So I am just going to listen for a while, but I'll be able to talk in a few minutes. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, Bonnie. How are you, dear?
I am doing wonderful. I'm all excited about this show. I know you and Kelly have been working really hard on it, and I am so excited. One, I didn't know too much about trees, but I'm going to find out about them. And two, I didn't know too much about pranic tube. So you are going to teach me something, you guys. So I'm ready to listen, awesome. And I'd love you to just make pretend I'm here.
Awesome.
All righty, we'll pretend you're there.
Okay, I love that.
All righty. Okay, well, starting out today, Maggie is going to give us a little background and history about what the pranic tube is, some examples of how she has used it effectively, and then she's going to lead us through meditation. We're going to see what kind of quite a little rich with the music moment, but Bonnie's got some meditation music on here, so we're going to see if we can do that as background, or if that doesn't work, Maggie's just going to punt, and we're just going to talk it through. So go for it, Maggie. We'll see how this works.
Okay. Well, thank you for this opportunity. My primary interest in this is self-empowerment and the empowerment of the individual, because this is extremely potent stuff here, and it's been suppressed for thousands of years. This is ancient technology that's been used, since probably ancient Egypt. The source that I get this from is this wonderful being called Tom Kenyon, and he wrote several books. This one is the Hawther material, and what he does is he channels the Hawthers. Now, this is essentially how I fell down the rabbit hole initially. I was, this must have been like 6-7 years ago. I was
Maggie?
Yes?
I'm a little girl, but I don't know if I could fall down a rabbit hole, but I'll try. Okay,
well,
go ahead.
At the time, I was left brain, you know, up in the intellectual realm, and I came across his website, and this website claimed that he channeled these entities from off planet. And I just laughed and thought, oh boy, this is going to be fun. I'm going to totally debunk this stuff. Because,
Debunker way back when.
You know, philosophy was my major in college, and so I kind of look on this sort of thing as a good time. So I started reading the Hawther material and what he had channeled through the Hawthers, and I was just gobsmacked. I was mesmerized by it. I resonated with it so completely. I ended up flying out to Seattle for a couple of his seminars. And it was just a life-changing event for me. It just absolutely phenomenal healing, understanding, and empowerment that I had occurred from just reading the Hawther material. Now, who the Hawthers are, they go back to, like I said, ancient Egypt. I've read that they were like fifth dimension and above. And they've never incarnated on Earth. They've not been down to 3D, but they do have pyramids dedicated to them in ancient Egypt. And we would know them as the Hathor, Hator, which was like the goddess of sex. I thought you'd like that, Bonnie.
I love that. Are you kidding? I mean, that's so me. And I got to tell you, you know, since I'm Cleopatra and I have her energy, I love this ancient Egypt stuff. So keep going, Maggie.
Okay. And so if you were to go to Egypt, you could see likenesses of them that some people who are able to see other dimensions and people from them had carved out. And they look kind of like they have a very triangular face, very handsome looking, and they have cow's ears. Like it's a triangles. And that's who the Hawthers look like. And if they were to appear embodiment in 3D, they would be about 40 feet tall.
Wow.
And they like to describe themselves as, well, they like to essentially explain themselves as stating that human beings of the visual light spectrum can only see or perceive visually less than 1% of what there is out there. And they are in the other 99% of what we cannot see on a visual perspective. And so that
means
a lot.
You know what, Maggie? That's just like, I hate to interrupt you because I get so excited about, like, all this new stuff because I'm just, like, enjoying this so much. But it's kind of like in medicine, we only use 10%, probably there's people who use less, but 10% of our brain. And the other 80%, the other 90%, excuse me, we don't ever tap into. So it's kind of just like that, it kind of attunes right there with our medical scientific knowledge. So maybe that's why you were so intrigued by it, because it would fit right in with that we don't see or hear or do or think more than 10% of our brain.
Right, and we cannot see more beyond, we can't even see like 2% of what is out there. We only, less than 1% is what we perceive visually, less than 1%. So there's a lot out there. And the thing that I find so ironic is that they've never had a human body, but they know so much about it. And so they've come back to teach us about it because it's essentially been suppressed, because this is very empowering information. And what they do is essentially help us to develop our body, our subtle energies in our, like our subtle bodies within our body, so that we can use our human bodies as kind of like antenna to perceive what is out there in the other 99%. And the way we can do this is just to get out of our way with our essentially our programming. And it comes down to like our feelings, which are different than emotions. They make a distinction between emotions and feelings. They say that emotions are essentially kind of like programmed into us. What they mean by this is when our body feels something, we have that feeling, and then our mind, our programmation jumps in and says, oh, that's good, that's bad, that's, you know, this, that's that, that's, you know, it essentially brings in a reaction as opposed to an action. And what the Hawthors teach us to do is just to, like, do away with the reaction and just feel and experience the feelings, because feelings are so incredibly important. They are what makes us human. And they like to express this. And what they also are concerned about is when our brains jump in, in a reaction state, it kind of like cuts off our physical feelings, and when it cuts it off, it kind of like clogs it up in that spot. And so we're carrying around these emotional clogs in our human body for years and, you know, for a very long time, and it can essentially cause disease further down the line. And so what we need to do is just let go of the reaction and just feel the feelings within our bodies and just get familiar with them. And once we become familiar with the feelings that our bodies have, then we're more open to experiencing them and more open to feeling more of them, so that we can perceive more of what is out there. And so they start out with some feeling exercises, and one of them.
But you can't feel other people's bodies. You do have to put that on air. I just had to say that. Only if you're married or you're in a relationship. I don't think you should go to, like, the bus station or a train station and say, hi, I feel, and you're going to feel their body. I just had to throw that out there, Maggie. I know this is an important subject, and I just didn't want anybody getting mixed up. Because, I mean, this is really cool, because I really, you know, as a counselor and a therapist thinking about emotions and feelings and a nurse, I take all the different perspectives in, and they're absolutely right. It's going to be tough, and that's why I can't wait to hear your next line is, and how what they think is how you do that.
Right. Well, I'm not talking about, like, physically feeling and groping your body. I'm just feeling just like perceiving, you know, like what is going on. And I'm going to read this directly from the Hawthor material. This is the first publication of this book, the earlier one. And he says in this one, imagine, in this exercise, imagine a tube of light, an energy conduit extending down through the center of your body all the way to the center of the earth. This is where you are connected, so to speak. Now, in your imagination, allow that tube of light to move upward above the head as far into space as appropriate for you at this time. And then some of you will experience the pranic tube going only a short distance above the head, and some of you may experience it going into other dimensions of the universe. Well, whatever way and however far it goes above the head does not matter. The distance will be appropriate for you at this time. With this accomplished, move your awareness into the heart center and allow yourself to breathe with your awareness focused at the heart. As you focus at the heart, imagine and sense celestial energy coming down from above and terrestrial energy coming up from the earth below so that these two meet in your heart. Yes, let these two energies flow into the heart from above and from below, feeding the heart continuously in a combined stream, whether you are inhaling or exhaling. Whether you are pausing your breath or not, just experience a continual flow of prana moving downward and upward. The goal of this exercise is to get a clearer sense of this flow of energy of prana coming down from above and coming up from below. Please pause and take a minute to get a very clear sense of this flow of prana. This is the very first part of the exercise. What the prana is, it's called the pranic tube, and it's been known for thousands of years. I believe the Buddhists initially picked this up because they were receiving instructions from the Hathas in ancient times about it. When I go back to, like, the first exercise with regards to, like, the feelings, this is the exercise. They want you to, like, relax, either comfortably sit or lie down. And when you're comfortably settled, recall an emotional response to a particular situation from the past. For some, it may be important or necessary to recall the actual situation so they can retrieve the emotion. When you have retrieved the emotion, let the situation drop away and then just notice where you are and where you sense the energy of the emotions in your body. So you can do it by just taking a deep breath and pick an emotion, a strong emotion that you want to try on and see how it feels in your body. And when you, like he said, some of the times you have to bring the situation with it. And when you get that feeling, let the situation drop away and then just notice where you sense the energy of the emotion in your body. If you don't sense the energy of the emotion, then you haven't chosen a feeling that's strong enough to create a response in your body system, in your awareness. So then choose something that's more volatile, something more obvious or stronger. And when you have identified the emotion, retrieved it and sensed it, you'll be able to feel its location somewhere in your physical body. It would be possible to sense it somewhere in the space around your body also, but for most people, it's usually somewhere within the physical body. It also moves through the subtle energy or emotional body, but most humans at these beginning stages are not capable of sensing that. They're certainly capable, however, of sensing it as it moves through or pulses through the physical body. So be aware of the physical body, sensing whatever that strong emotion is. Sense its pattern, how large the pattern is, the feeling sensation of the energy. Sense the speed at which it's pulsing. Notice whether it's pulsing forward or backward, side to side, whether it's moving, whether it is still. Be aware of all the many emotional characteristics and where they are located in your body. Now, we ask that you go back and retrieve another feeling from another situation, a different feeling. And as you recall this feeling, notice where in the body it is located, the intensity, the pulsation rate, and where it's moving. Is it pulsing left to right, to front to back, reverse? Identify all the different characteristics you can and specifically notice where in the body the feeling energy is located. And then you can go to like positive feelings and negative feelings like anger or hate or love or compliance or whatever energy that is strong enough for you. And this is how you get to know your body and the feelings and how they feel within your body.
Wow, that's so cool. Now I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm so happy that I got to hear that, Maggie. It's phenomenal.
Oh, good. And so then he introduces the pranic tube, and like I said previously, it's a method of bringing the energy through your body, and what it takes the energy from is the universal energy. And our they call it the Ka body, which is kind of like a mimic of the human body. Our human body cannot live without the energy of the Ka body. And so when I say, like, charge your batteries, what you're charging is your Ka body. And the prana that flows through you is essentially what feeds the Ka body, you know, through the pranic tube. And you're drawing energy in from the earth, and you're drawing energy in from, you know, the celestial or the stars. And that is what keeps us going. And this is going to be used as a tool for your empowerment, but we're going to get to that in just a little bit, because first of all, I want to talk about experiences of an event. And remember how I talked about how feelings or emotions are normally usually like hijacked by culture that teach us that, oh, this is bad, this is, you know, this is bad, this is the other thing, without giving you a free choice to decide, you know, what to do with what it is you have on your plate before you. Now, experience of an event. We're going to take an external situation in regardless of whatever it is, any external event that's going on in your life. And what essentially acts as a stimuli to you and your internal reaction to it. Now, this is the crux of the situation, the pivot point, is how you react to it or act in accordance with what the external situation is. Because whatever you do, this is like where you get to add your magic, or this is where you add the quantum part. You know, people talk about like quantum this and quantum that, and people think like, well, what does it have to do with me? Well, this is where you can apply it in your own life in every moment, because every moment you are seeding your future self and your future external life. Whatever appears in your life externally in the future is seeded in each moment by the present. And it comes down to this pivot point here. So if you have an external situation that needs some kind of a change, and what we're going to do is we're going to change our internal reaction to it. It's called the pivot point. And the way you choose the experience, the way you choose to experience an experience of an event will determine how destiny unfolds from that moment forward. So your beliefs, which we go back to, is like how I said that we're essentially hijacked with good, bad. You know, these labels, these stickers. Our culture is essentially designed to quench this awareness. They want us, and they kind of like view us as if we're automatronic robots, like action, reaction, like we were machines or something. And that is not the truth. That's how they would like to treat us, but that's not how we are, because we have the ability to affect our external situation by how we react to the external situation. And so if your beliefs are one way, then that essentially brings on the outer manifestations, because what you're thinking and believing is what you will get in your outer world. And so what we like to do is kind of like look at the world and how everything is set up for like positive. We live in a world of duality in third dimension. Duality, hot, cold, up, down, back, forth, in, out, up, down. And near the two shall meet. Unless you can take it from a duality into like a polarity, which is a little bit closer. It's like bringing choices into your ballpark. Because if you're like a duality, there's no way you can join the two together. But a polarity, you can. If you look at the Earth and you have like the North Pole and the South Pole, they're far apart, yes, but they're still in the same globe. So that's the same ballpark. And this is how we're going to, this is how we're going to start viewing the world. And so how do we do this is by changing the energy. So if something happens and you're just completely dissatisfied with your outer experience in life, and you're just like, it's totally God-snacked, and like, oh my gosh, this is the worst possible thing. That's impossible. I have no choices. What can I possibly do? The first thing you can do is change the energy involved with the situation. And you do this by accepting. You accept the situation. You accept the situation where you are. If the situation involves another person, you accept the situation of where the other person is. Let's say it has to do with your viewpoint. You accept your viewpoint. You accept their viewpoint as them having their viewpoint. And you can accept that. And that in itself is enough to change the energy. Because if you accept the situation as it is, then that can change the energy, and it offers a sliver of choice where you can move into compassion. You can have compassion. You can actually stand back and say, well, maybe this person thinks that way because they're on a mission or whatever it is that you are giving them expression of. And the highest expression of choice is an expression of compassion. And it's the resonance of acceptance. And what the objective of this is doing is it's changing our vibration, because vibration is absolutely everything. Everything in 3D, everything in this world is vibratory levels. And so what we are trying to do, our objective is to raise our vibration. So let's say we're knocked down a peg or two, and you're just like, just really, upset. Well, what we do is we say, I'm upset. And there's a lot of people who say, oh, you don't feel anger because that's a low vibe. But anger is a part of you. Accept that you're feeling anger. Feel it in your body. Don't block it. Allow it to express. Feel that anger, because it's very important, like I said, to let the body express itself. But don't necessarily add labels to it like we've been taught. Just feel it and experience the feelings. And sometimes you can feel, you pick up something and you have not a clue what that was. Just say, wow, I wonder what that feeling was. You know, it's very interesting. But what it's doing, it's increasing your subtle body and your perception of it.
Wow.
So what we're doing is we're getting our vibrations up, because that is the key to our destiny. We can literally change our outside world by how we change our vibrations within ourselves. And I'm not kidding you. Let me go into a quick example of this. Gosh, about 2 years ago, I was stuck in this house in upstate New York, and I wanted to get out of there in the worst way. It was this 113-year-old Victorian house. And
any ghosts?
Yeah, there's lots of stories.
Oh, because I love those. Okay.
But these ones were from another dimension, though.
Well, hey, they're all, you have to treat them all the same, You got to either stick with them, acknowledge them, and ask them to go, or you have to live with them and let them live in peace. So, but I love any type of ghost.
People went to like the woo kind of ghost. These were like, some of them were a couple of feet high, like little fuzzy-looking brown things that you can see through running around, attached to somebody who is being, possessed.
And then
there was another occasion. I had to go down and I had this enormous wood-burning stove in the basement, and I'd have to get up at 2 and 3 in the morning to go feed it. I call it feeding the beast. And I'd get up and go down at 2 in the morning. It's the creepiest basement you've ever been in. And all by myself, live there by myself, me and my dog. So I go down at like 2, 3 in the morning to feed the beast, and I notice from my peripheral vision, this house is built, like they dug a big hole and then they took field stone and stacked it up, and that was the walls of the basement. And one part did not have a wall. It was like this hole with dirt on the other side. It was like a crawl space that went under the kitchen and the bathroom. And so I'm sitting at the beast, and the only way to get out the door would be go past the crawl space. And I noticed in my peripheral vision there was this thing sitting there. It looked like a troll. It was like pear-shaped, and it was hairy, and it was with skinny little legs hanging over the edge of where he was sitting, on the edge of the crawl space, just looking at me. And so I naturally did not want to go into fear, which is our next subject about fear. So I just started singing. I started singing just like off key, because I figured anything that would be in my in my range would run. And it did.
That's so cute.
And so what the Pranic Tube is actually doing, I'll get into it in a bit, but it has to do with fear, because fear is the most base, low vibe possible. And, like, people act out, like, in very weird, destructive ways because it's based essentially on fear. So what the Pranic Tube will do is it will essentially put you immediately into a space and a vibration that just totally overrides fear. And you can be fearless using this, essentially.
Oh, I think that's fabulous.
Yeah. And so what Tom Kenyon says here is that if you don't like your current reality, then you must change both your thinking and your emotional misperceptions to change your vibration. Vibration is the key to changing your destiny, the final key that unlocks doorways to a greater life. And so with that in mind, let's do a couple let's do the Pranic Tube. Do you want to know something really funny, Kelly?
Go for
Are you there, Kelly?
I've been enjoying this.
Okay,
yeah.
Anyway, we'll go to the Pranic Tube. Now, the Pranic Tube is...
No, I want to know the funny thing. Come on.
The funny thing? The one that I had taught on the Spiritual Connection channel, you know,
right.
With the... That one, I can't find it anywhere, and I finally realized that I kind of, like, made that up.
Oh, wow.
It's so,
okay.
It's so powerful.
That was
extraordinary. You know, I've used it for years. I mean, I've actually used it to clean chemtrails from the sky. And
I know that. I was wanting you to tell them about that, you know, about you know, the use is for. It's like after you open it and after, you know, your heart is open and after you're using this energy, how do we use it, you know? And it's like, I wanted to make sure you told people about, you know, how you clean chemtrails and how, you know, about the ticket with the dog in the park, you know.
Right.
Those kind of things, how you could, how it is effective. Because that's
okay.
Cool.
Let's get to the Pranic Tube. Now, the Pranic Tube essentially is this, we'll just like imaginary tube. And let's say if you were to take your forefinger and your thumb and put them together, it would be about the width and diameter of that. And it runs through your crown chakra, which is, I guess, like if you had a baby, and it would be like the baby's soft spot on the top of their head, which would be your crown chakra. And it goes straight through. It does not follow your spine because your spine is a little bit crooked. But it goes straight through from your crown chakra to your perineum. And your perineum is the area between your anus and your urethra. And then you just like picture it going through your perineum and touching earth. Or you can put it wherever you want into the earth. And this is the most incredibly strong grounding tool I have ever come across. And I always put my Pranic Tube into the heart of Mother Earth, where I am grounded and rooted. And you just have to think of it in an instant, and it's done. And this is the first exercise to get us familiar with the Pranic Tube. Okay, now just relax and breathe up into your Pranic Tube and draw earth energy up from the earth with one breath. Draw it up and then relax and let it go with a sigh. On the second breath, breathe in from above your head, bringing celestial energy down into your body's Pranic Tube. And then again, you release the breath and sigh. And you do this several times until you get a clear sense of a flow of this subtle energy going through your pranic tube. You practice it, and you begin to actually feel it going in. And then the second one is we're going to draw prana up from the earth into our pranic tube as we inhale, and we're going to hold the breath for a moment and then exhale with a sigh, but keeping our focus of intention on our pranic tube. We're going to keep our focus on the pranic tube. And next, we're going to draw prana down from above our head into our pranic tube, hold our breath for a moment while we focus on our pranic tube, and we exhale and sigh. And as you shift your awareness to your entire physical body, this is what we're going to do now. We're going to take our energy that we're bringing in from the celestial and from the earth, and we're going to have it meet in our heart. And when we exhale, we're going to change our focus from our pranic tube to the rest of our body so that the energy will flow from the pranic tube into the rest of our body. And then you do that until you get a good sense of the energy and how it's working with that. And then we have another one. This is the closest that he gets to what I was doing. And notice, like we said, intention. Intention is absolutely everything. You don't have to argue with it or come up with the diagrams to explain it. Just set the intention, and it's very powerful. Okay, we're going to place our awareness in our heart chakra. Our heart chakra is like in the center of our chest. It's like just above our breastplate, I guess they call it. And we're going to put our attention. And we're going to, this is what he calls clarifying the energy. Recall a feeling of unconditional love and acceptance in your life. Just take that feeling and try and amplify it. And make sure you're actually feeling the feeling. Just thinking about it will not do. You have to feel it for this to work. So you feel unconditional love somehow. A baby smile, your lover's embrace, whatever it is. And with your awareness in your heart center and holding the feeling of unconditional love and acceptance, inhale and draw the prana from the earth into your heart chakra, and you hold your breath for a moment, and as you focus on your heart chakra, still holding the feeling of love and acceptance, and when you exhale, move your awareness from your heart into your physical body and allow the now qualified prana to move out from your heart chakra and into your entire body. And we're going to do this again, and this time we're going to draw it from above our head. So with awareness of unconditional love, we're going to put it in our heart center. And with our in-breath, we're going to draw energy from above our head, the celestial energy, into our heart chakra. We're going to hold our breath for a moment. And as we focus on our heart chakra, still holding the feeling of love and acceptance, we're going to exhale. And then we move our awareness from our heart into our physical body and allow that qualified prana to move out from our heart chakra and into our entire body. And that is very, very awesome for the charging of your ka body. And it brings your vibrations and excitation in your body. Every cell increases your vibrations. And now what I did, I went one extra on this. And what I do, in fact, like I said, I've been using it for so many years that I forgot that I essentially invented this method. What I do is, because it was very hard for me to come up with a feeling of unconditional love in an instant, so what I did, I came up with this version of it, because for me, I am so in tune with Mother Earth, Gaia, that just thinking about her opens my heart up, like, instantly. So this is what I came up with. What I do is I center my attention on my heart center, and I do an inhale breath. And on the inhale breath, I bring in celestial energy from my crown chakra, and I bring in terrestrial energy from Mother Earth at the same time. So on my inhale, the energy is going up my pranic tube from above and from below, and it meets in my heart chakra. And when it meets my heart chakra, I picture my heart chakra spinning in a clockwise direction. And what it's doing, it's taking the energy, the celestial and the terrestrial energy, and it's mixing it in my heart chakra. And I set an intention with what to do with this energy. And this is where the magic begins. You can do anything with this, anything that you want with this energy. And I began to experiment by cleaning water. And then after I had excellent results with clean water, I started doing chemtrail things. But what we do is we spin it around in our heart chakra, and I set the intention of what it will do. So I do this three times, and then let's say I'm going to clean water with this. And then I set the intention that the energy on my exhale will go to that water that I'm looking at, that I want cleaned. And I do it three times. I bring in energy from above and from below, mix it in my heart chakra, and on my exhale, I focus it on the water I want it to go to. And after three times, then I usually say something verbally like, I hereby decree that this water is love directly from source. All that touch this water becomes love directly from source. All that touch what touches this water becomes love directly from source. For the highest, if it is for the highest good of all, so it is, it is done. And that is what I do, knowing full well that this water will flow into this huge lake, because that's why I involve what touches what touched the water, because as the love flows into the lake, everything that touches this qualified water also becomes love. And so when it's absorbed, when it comes down as rain, it's still love, so it spreads everywhere. And excellent results with this. And I had such good results with this, I decided, let's see what we can do with chemtrails. And I would do this every day, and it got to the point where there was all, I mean, this was, I lived in an area that was just, oh my gosh, a crime against Mother Nature. They chemtrailed so much. You never saw this on. And I so much wanted to see the sun, and I wanted to see UFOs at night. So I started doing that, and there was a permanent blue area over my property. And I was able to go out at night and see the stars and UFOs in the only place in the area you could see it from. And it drew so much. Okay, I was out one afternoon admiring the blue spot over my property amongst all the chemtrails, and this chemtrail plane showed up right in the middle of my blue spot, and he started chemtrailing. And I said, oh, in my blue spot. So that, I thought, well, let's try this love stuff. And with all I could there, I just sent love to the pilot of this chemtrail plane. And I swear to you, he shut the chemtrails off, and he flew out of there like a bat out of hell. And I thought, wow, this love stuff really works. And then, well, this is when the UFO showed up. It came out from the edge of the chemtrails. And it flew, like, right in front of me, and it scanned me. It was like, it looked like this sphere with a dirt path up the front of it. And I just kept thinking, what the frig? Well, it was scanning me. And then after it scanned me, it just, like, zipped off. And I thought, what was that about? And at the time, I was on Facebook. And so I was telling my friends in England about that I saw this UFO. It looked like a miniature, tiny little plant with a dirt path up the front to it. And they sent me some photographs of UFOs, and I identified what I saw. And they said, wow, you just identified a Draco-reptilian mothership. And I thought, holy cats, what do they want with me? You know, and then that
want to find out who's advanced enough on the planet to send love.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then 3 weeks later, somebody from the Department of Defense showed up at my house and vetted me for, like, oh gosh, several, like 8 hours or so. They wanted to know everything about me, and they were very interested in wanting to know my bloodline too.
Oh,
which
wow.
was interesting. They wanted to know if I was Scottish, and oh, it was just crazy. And they're very interested in all my adventures. And I was totally honest.
You had some interesting adventures. I know. That's what I want to get out and just share some of those, because you have had some adventures.
Adventures
beyond Wonderland.
Yeah.
I know how you stay down the rabbit hole.
Well, it's been a process. It's been a process of learning to be fearless, and I pretty much was kind of like born that way, being fearless, and it's a good thing. With the pranic, the reason I want to bring up the pranic tube is because there's one more exercise that all you have to do is you have to put, like. All you have to do is essentially think of the pranic tube and know that it's attached however far you want it to go in the heavens or the skies or the stars or whatever you want to refer to it as, and have it at least touch Earth. But like I said, to ground it into the heart of Mother Earth. And just think of it instantly. And what you need to know is prana is flowing regardless of what you're breathing. So if you're really breathing heavily, you think of the pranic tube, it doesn't matter, because it flows with just your intention. It doesn't need any breaths for the prana to flow through your tubes. Right. And so what it does is all you have to do is just think of your pranic tube flowing through you, and it stabilizes your emotions. So you can get, So let's just say if something occurred to you that you find extremely fearsome, just think of your pranic tube, and it stabilizes your energy so you don't go into fear and you don't, spin out.
Right.
And that is what
the other, I was going to say, the other example of that you had was when you were walking Wolfie. Have you told that one about how you prevented yourself from getting a ticket that morning?
just doing using the pranic tube and becoming familiar with my subtle energy bodies in my body is just it becomes such a normal thing for me that I don't even have to think of my pranic tube anymore. What I was thinking of was my sovereignty. That is foremost in my mind. And what happened was, it was during hunting season, and Wolfgang is petrified of gunshots. So this morning I took him to the state park, and knowing full well that they have a leash law, but Wolfgang is not a normal, typical dog. I think he's an ascended master, I honestly do. And so...
He can be Philly. Philly runs my show. She's a famous Chihuahua.
he's not a Chihuahua.
he's a big doggy.
He's a blue Great Dane is what he is. He can go up to 144 pounds. He measures 6'4" inches from the tip of his nose to the tip of his tail.
Do you have a? Can I ask you a question? And that's why I probably need to meet me, Kelly, because I've got spirit. I'm sitting in the closet, and I really don't want to talk because my daughter's trying to study. But do you have a female relative in spirit, like a mother, grandmother?
Oh yes, everybody's in spirit.
Yeah, because your mom is talking to me. Is your mom was a very practical woman?
Oh yes.
Yeah, and what she's saying is she wanted me to thank you for choosing her as a mother. She knows that she's not a frivolous woman, and that you must know that you picked her because she would be tolerant of your gifts, even though I don't know that she knew them.
Wow.
She too.
But she herself has them. And I don't
right.
know if you and I don't know if you knew that.
Yes, when I was a teenager, she took me to some sort of psychic church where they did a reading and
Yeah, and she said, so don't think it was just by accident that you have what you have. That took many lifetimes for your soul to understand what you're understanding now, and she was handpicked by you to bring you here in this lifetime. And she isn't smiling, so to me she was, that means she was a pretty practical woman. She didn't really have a lot of, I don't know if I would say she was fun, because she's not showing me fun, but what she said is she was practical, so I don't know what that means for you. She had, when she shows me what she looks like, she has salt and pepper hair with bangs. So I don't know if she did or she didn't, but it's kind of black and gray, but more gray, like a darker gray and lighter gray kind of look. I feel like she's telling me that back a generation, that this is something that they've come from different universes and different existences, and that you're the culmination of all of these lifetimes.
Hmm. That's fascinating. I learned an awful lot being raised by her.
Yeah.
Lots of challenges.
Yeah, she knows that. That's why she's not showing me a lot of smiling. But she said that you picked her, because we always pick our parents. You picked her as a mother, and she wants to thank you.
Oh, nice. I'm going to cry.
Okay. Well, Ray, you got to feel emotions. You have to recognize it, acknowledge it, and don't throw it away. So,
right.
Okay. Yeah, I've learned a lot. Now, I have to whisper because I'm in the closet, okay? So I can't really talk loud. So, okay, well, I'm sorry I had to interrupt you. Yes, I bet it's in the garage yesterday.
You do get around.
Yes, to the all many high places in my kingdom.
Very awesome. Oh, I was talking about, walking the dog. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So I took him to the state park, and there had been this police officer. They have regular police in the park now. We won't go there.
Wow.
And I know he was trying to catch me before, and I evaded him because I knew he was there. This particular morning, I was not expecting him because it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. There wasn't anybody there at all. So I didn't have my feelers out. And I just had Wolfgang like walking along beside me. And there's this one area where the path is analogous to the road. And sure enough, this cop pulled up on the road and busted me for walking my dog off his leash. And he wanted a driver's license, which I didn't have because I was on foot, and he knew better than to ask me for ID. But regardless, I was pretty darn disturbed by the fact that my sovereignty was being violated. I felt that I had every right in the world to walk my dog you know, where we wanted without harming anybody. And so I was, the only thing I thought about was how my sovereignty was being violated. And this guy was literally writing me a ticket. He had the ticket out. He had it half filled out. I wasn't lying to him about my name or address or anything. I was, you know, and he was filling it out. And I was just thinking about my sovereignty being violated. And then all of a sudden, my heart chakra opened, and this energy beamed out of my heart chakra. It was so strong, I could almost see it with my eyes. And it went whoom, and it hit the cop. And I was just like, oh, my gosh. And I looked at the cop to see what his reaction would be. And then he literally went from writing me a ticket. He put his ticket thing away, and then he apologized to me for almost ruining my day.
Hey, Maggie.
Yes?
I still have your mom here, and what she's showing me is, did she crochet or knit? Because she's using this, she's madly crocheting or knitting. It looks like a crochet hook, like a doily, but I'm not quite sure because the symbols are for you. And she's madly doing, I mean, not madly meaning meanly, she just is so intent on doing it. So, and she wanted me to show, you know, because I wasn't telling you. So she was like throwing it right at my face.
I got this. I know what this one is. It's like it's called a doily maker. She's making a doily. It's like it's to bring the relationship in. I know what that one is. Oh, my goodness. Are you going to have a relationship, Maggie?
Well, somebody just told me, I can't remember who it was. I think it was maybe
Leslie. It was Leslie, I think.
Was it Leslie?
Well, it depends on when you called in. Because if you called in on Thursday, it was Leslie. And if you called in But she's madly selling. She's showing me a crochet needle or knitting needles. And she's saying that she wanted me to tell you. That was one of the symbols she wants you to know that she's here. So no. I'm sorry. When spirit calls, I got to tell you.
I love it. Thank you. So she's bringing a relationship in for me.
Well, that's what Kelly says. I only give you the symbol. Kelly interpreted it.
Do you have a color?
Yes, I did.
Do you have a color of yarn she was using?
Yeah. It's kind of a dull yarn. It doesn't look bright, so it looks like it's really weird because I wasn't going to tell you this because I never saw anything like it, but it looks either gray, cloud gray, dark cream. So it's not a real, not dark cream like beige, but it's kind of like, I don't know, it wasn't a color, it's silver gray, but I don't think that was the symbol. The symbol was for you to know who she was, to bring something to you that you would know again that it was her. That's what I'm getting the impression. So what color did she usually do?
Oh, she used all kinds of colors.
Because this was gray. So, but I would assume either you have something that's maybe the darker gray, not it's like a cloud color, gray cloud color. Mm-hmm. And, so either maybe she, and it's definitely like a smoky gray. So either maybe you have something or that isn't what the symbol is. It's just the crocheting or needle knit. But I usually give you the symbols and you have to make parasols out of them because they're not my symbols. Yours.
It feels really good. My body absolutely loves this. I just feel so light and feathery from this information.
Good. I'm so happy because, like I said, she almost hit me over the head with the needle. So I had to stop. Yeah. Hey, I'm really excited, Maggie, because I heard you do tree readings, and I can't stay on much longer, but can you do? Are you going to do tree readings today?
Yes. Let me do one for you.
She's the queen tree.
Oh, yes, I'm the queen tree.
Okay. Do you have a question that you'd like answered?
Sure. Okay. Because, you know, I don't, I'm so happy in my life that it's very hard for me. I always ask the same question because, it's the only thing I can think about. Is my show going to go public to paying stations, either in television or radio?
All righty. Let me play with the cards here. Hang on for a second, will you?
Okay.
And I know, Maggie, I call them the tree cards, and it's like, and so what really is the name of the card deck? Because I know it's trees, and that's all I remember.
You know, I can already see what it's going to come out of. I can already see, but I have another question. I already can see what the cards are going to. So go ahead, Maggie.
That's getting pretty good, Bonnie.
Yeah.
The cards going this is like, okay, I know what's going to lay out. I know, okay, that one. Can I have another question? Right.
Maybe
awesome.
I won't see the other trees, what they're going to answer on the next question, but go ahead.
Well.
What are they trees like names like elm, sycamore, spruce?
Yeah, and they've got all kinds of different. Yeah, they use like yew and rowan, and they have like I think some of the vines I want to say like ivy. I'm trying to remember all the different. I mean, there's a lot of different. I mean, each card is a different tree or a different botanical.
And how many do you throw down, Cal?
I think she's actually
how many
she's like a tree card. She's going to do like a tree card reading.
Okay, go ahead. Maggie, I can't wait to hear. Go for it, girlfriend.
Okay. I have for you the first one, that the first card that I get for you is a spindle. I know, you'd think like a tree reading with a spindle, but it represents earth and the past source of the situation. And what spindle means is obligation, discipline. And so
yeah.
What I'm getting is that you've been very disciplined about your show so far.
Yes.
And
well, as disciplined as a pseudo Leo Sagittarius, really Cancer can be. So go ahead. But yes, I have been.
Okay, now this is what the passage says. You will need self-discipline in order to stay focused and complete your tasks at hand. The work
mm-hmm.
that you do is very important and honorable. You can take pride in your accomplishments. Your skills are needed by your family and perhaps even by your community, and your abilities have the potential to boost your status. You must be up. You may be up for a promotion, more responsibility, or even a new career. A new opportunity may come as a big surprise or a sudden change, as the wheels seem to have been set in motion by outside forces. Your ability to make something out of nothing may benefit you as you attempt to roll with these changes in an unselfish manner.
Oh, that's me. That's totally me.
This is so accurate. I love this deck. And then the second one is what life, it represents the sea and what is currently upon the shore. So it would be the present. And that's the alder tree. And the alder tree is oracle or teacher. And it is, alder is the blessed tree that speaks to you of your own inner teacher, as well as taking the good advice of a sage. Now is the time to be open to the counsel of a teacher or mentor, as well as your spirit guides. While seeking knowledge, don't discount your own wise counsel. A spiritual warrior is wise enough to seek inspiration and listen carefully to the advice of others, weighing all options thoughtfully in order to triumph. Use your own judgment, exploring all possibilities before acting on advice. Often you will find the answers you need when you connect with the sage within you.
Yeah. I'm totally in down with that one.
And then, let's see, the next one is, it represents the sky and how the situation will manifest in the future if the present course is maintained. And that is blackthorn. And blackthorn has to do with adversity sacrifice. Sometimes, no matter how hard you try to avoid trouble, it finds you anyway. This is the natural order. You are facing a wound, either physical or emotional, and it is a completely unavoidable situation. This loss may be connected to your being in the service of another, but even injury from a noble act of self-sacrifice is painful. You may be dealing with a backstabber. In this inevitable situation, your focus should be on doing damage control after the fact and then healing. This is the harsh reality of life. Just get through this obstacle. Once you have reached it, it cannot be undone, only dealt with.
Wow.
And then the final card, let's see, how do they describe the final card, is represents the dragon's fire of transformation, the powerful influence behind every aspect of the situation. And you have grove. I thought this was a perfect card. And what the grove is, a oneness consciousness. And it says, wisdom is readily available to you. You need only to look within. There are connections between events that you may not have seen before, but these connections are very important in helping you to see through the illusions that are at hand. The situation may be more complicated than you realize. Try to see the situation as a whole rather than focusing on the individual aspects. Also don't forget that the decisions you make will ripple out to others. So act responsibly and teach others by your example. Things may seem very complex, so be careful not to miss the forest for the trees.
I love that because, you know, when you're talking about the kind of business I want to go into and the people I want to take, I'm doing it for everybody. And I would reach a billion, million more people that would then be metaphysically inclined. So I'm really, I love that. And you know what, Maggie, I'm going to tell you that your mother is all over me in this closet, and then I am going to have to go. I'm going to have to ask her to walk away because she's to keep at it. And I'm, you know, she's just poking me. So I want you to know that she's very happy that she connected with you. Although I don't see a smile on her face, she's very happy. She's pointing her finger at me. So I do want you to know that you should connect with her and make her aware that you know she's there and resolve any issues that you have, if you do have any, because your mother loves you very much.
And so
she knows it's tough for you down here, but don't think she has been very far from you, she said. You're her daughter. She says she'll be there until she hands you her hand to pull you up.
Oh, I look on her as one of my best friends.
Yeah, she still is. She still is, because if she's here with me this long, she still is.
Oh, that's so sweet.
So I thank you for that message. I totally rock that. I love trees. I love earth. I don't always get out in it. I do kind of get out in it. And, you know, I am a queen bee energy, so actually I'm not a queen bee. I hate those queen bees. It's not that I hate them. I just don't like them because they sting. And I'm more like a fairy from Scrooge, whereas I am always sweet and sparkly, but don't bother others. Because if you do, I'm going to, like, tap you on the head and tell you you're going to have to be nice. So I rock all of that. I love everything. I'm so excited about these cards. And I do want to thank you. I've got to go right now, but you keep going. And I love what you're doing, guys, and keep it up.
Oh, thank you so much, Bonnie, for having us. And your cards are awesome. I totally think that, yes, it's taking off, and that's what they say.
Yes, I know. I mean, you know what, Maggie? I'm not, like I said to everybody, I'm not leaving my peeps behind. I might not be able to take you right away, but I am never going to forget my peeps. So I think that's part of that card reading, that for others, not just for myself, but others, I need to showcase them because there's so much in this world people don't know, and I want them to know.
Yeah.
So I'm so into that, and I so thank you. I loved showcasing you guys. So, again, Kelly, this is your show, you two. I know I butt in, but, oh, my goodness, it was so wonderful. Thank you for having me on my show. And I love
that. Thank you for having us, Bonnie. Come on.
Thank you for having me on your show with water wings and all and training wheels.
Thank you. You're very welcome, Maggie. And, you know, Kelly, you know, you rock. So, girls, have a good time. Entertain and inform, and that's what the show is. So, and entertaining means, you know, giving people advice to help further, you know, any contemplation they have. Yeah, and the ability to be able to heal yourself with the pranic tube is fabulous. So thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
See you on Monday. All righty. We have several.
One of the things that Bonnie brought up about the pranic tube is to, like, heal with the pranic tube. That's another thing I would like to mention. Like, oftentimes when I mistakenly watch the news and just see some horrific event that they're spewing all over the Internet, I don't watch television, I don't read newspapers, I don't read magazines, and I don't listen to the radio because it's so low vibe. But I do sometimes keep track on the Internet, and when something, like, really reaches my heart, I just run my energies. I just run the pranic tube, and when I'm listening to a story that's touching my heart, because I know that I'm helping to heal the situation and change the energies as they're being presented to us. And so you can essentially do anything you want with the pranic tube. And like I said, like, it actually was clearing up chemtrails. That's how powerful it is. And that's such a great message that my mom, Bonnie, brought through from my mom. So
incredible.
It wasn't
that's
just a fluke. I guess I've been working at this for a while.
Right. Okay. Well, and we got some callers that have been very patient, so it's like we're going to get to you guys here because I know you guys have been waiting for this tree card reading. So are you ready, Maggie?
I am ready.
Okay. I'm going to start with area code 916. 916, we got you on, I think.
Oh, yay, those trees cards. They sound nice. Let me tell you something, though. I know that I was meant to catch the show in time today because when I was on the road, you know, I was making cards at rest stops, other things that but I was reading the Keys of Enoch, and they explained the Tube of Light in there. So I asked for further explanation, and in my dream, the angel showed me that when you're reading for people, you can tell, like, if you're going up an elevator, they've never been to floor 23. They've been to all up to 22. They've been to 24, but they missed something on 23. So the light may be disconnected. What they would want to do is go to door number 23. Maybe there's fear or something. So they want to put that in the tube of light, send it to the light or a planet or wherever through their crown, and then the light's going to be sent back to them that they put in their heart. They combine that with the heart of the earth, and through the crown, like you were saying, bring both energies into your heart. And then they have all their elevators all the way up to, you know, that 23rd floor. They finally have got what was clogging up their an obstacle. They finally got an obstacle out of their way, and they could go further. So that's what the Tube of Light did for me. And, of course, I had and I think that, with everything you said, it just reconnected me to that feeling I had where I was taking notes about this. So I think it's great. I just love everything I've heard. You say much like
cool.
I want those
to tell people archives, you know? It's like if you got a computer, we do have this in archives. You can download it.
Wow. Everything you added to what I already had dreamed and read about, because the Keys of Enoch tells you about that in the power body.
I love verification.
You have time to give me. Oh, thank you. I love to go. Yours was amazing. It went into big detail. Do you have time to give me a tree card?
One question, though. Who are you?
I'm Diana.
Diana.
I probably recognized who I was.
Sure. Okay. Do you have a question in mind in particular?
I would just like whatever spirit wants to pull through.
All right, let's see what we can do. Let me do this.
I'll tell you what. While Maggie is shuffling and laying out, Diana, what I'm going to have you do is, what's your month and date of birth? And I'll just do your birth card real quick too. And
yeah.
Maggie,
I'll help you here. 5/7/54. I'm old now. I just told everybody.
Okay, May 7th. Oh wow. Okay, so you're a queen of diamonds. And you've got a three of clubs as your planetary ruler. So let's see. And what is your current age this year?
60.
Oh, my goodness. You don't sound nearly
that old. Oh, no. My
birthday. Wow. Okay. So you just had your birthday. Wow. Okay, I'm just going to say real quick, your long-range card for this year is the Ace of Spades. It's the Magi card. It's the card of transformation, the Phoenix card. So you are going to be going through a lot of transformations in your 60th year this year. There's going to be a lot of things coming up for you. Starting right out at first, you know, because you're still in Mercury, you got the Nine of Spades also with the Four of Diamonds. Four of Diamonds, you're going to have stability in finances and values in some way. That Nine of Spades, again, you're going to be making it's like the Ace of Spades and the Nine of Spades, like, you know, kind of run together. It's like where that Ace is that transformational, that Phoenix energy. That Nine is things closing up, or, you know, completing more like that closing. So the door closes, but it's completing an energy cycle with I'm going to say probably either with health things. It's like, you know, maybe there's something that you've been doing that's unhealthy for you that's, you know, you're going to get healthier, you know, or you be like a recovery from things that are happening. It could be like if it's in the work, if you're trying to do, you know, entrepreneurial things like that. There's going to be some kind of a closure in some way.
I'm here.
So let's see how the trees go with Maggie. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, Diana?
Yes.
Okay, the first card represents the earth and the past source of the situation. And for that, I get the black thorn, which is adversity and sacrifice. And be the past. Let me find it here. And what this is, it indicates sometimes no matter how hard you try to avoid trouble, it finds you anyway. This is the natural order. You are facing a wound, either physical or emotional, and it is a completely unavoidable situation. This loss may be connected to your being in the service of another, but even injury from a noble act of self-sacrifice is painful. You may be dealing with a backstabber. In this inevitable situation, your focus should be on doing damage control after the fact and then healing. This is the harsh reality of life. Just get through this obstacle. Once you have reached it, it cannot be undone, only dealt with. And then the second card we have is it represents the sea and what is currently upon the shore. And with that, we have the alder, which means oracle or teacher. And the reading goes, alder is the blessed tree that speaks to you of your own inner teacher, as well as taking the good advice of a sage. Now is the time to be open to the counsel of a teacher or mentor, as well as your spirit guides. While seeking knowledge, don't discount your own wise counsel. A spiritual warrior is wise enough to seek inspiration and listen carefully to the advice of others, weighing all options thoughtfully in order to triumph. Use your own judgment, exploring all possibilities before acting on advice. Often you will find the answers you need when you connect with the sage within you. And the next card represents the sky and how the situation will manifest in the future if the present course is maintained. And for that we get aspen, which symbolizes courage and steadfastness. And it reads, you are in a position where you will have an opportunity to face and to conquer your fear. You will see a way to use your feelings of apprehension as a friend. You will find courage within you for the battle ahead, and you will be steadfast in your decisions. You will find great strength as you battle your own dark side, and you will need those lessons in order to progress as you embrace your warrior spirit. You will undergo a test of your mettle. Remember, when a person has courage, it doesn't mean that they are never afraid. It means that they are able to overcome that fear in order to do what simply must be done. Sometimes the right thing to do isn't the easy thing. And then the final card represents represented the dragon's fire of transformation, the powerful influence behind every aspect of the situation. And for that, we drew an oak, which means strength and endurance. And it reads, a doorway stands before you. It's a clear sign of a passageway to a higher place of status, both in a physical and a spiritual sense. You're coming into your own strength. Your roots run deep with experience, and all the trials you have been through so far have helped you establish your position. You may have found that you've become a sheltering force to others as well. Respected for your credibility, people coming to you for advice based upon your experience of opening doors for others. If you're working on a project currently, signs point to its success as long as you stand your ground when needed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I hope that made sense to you.
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get my book out, but you know, it's like I don't know what you're out to say. So, standing my ground, that's good advice. But it fit me, because now I'm glad the swan was going in my past, because I can understand, you know, the past with the child government, the past with the family, not supporting my spirituality. But I feel bad for Bonnie that hers was, like, still there. Can we shove that into her past? So help her out some. anyway, that was wonderful. Those are just such great cards. You should do a reading for Kelly. So we can hear that.
Oh, we'll get there.
I
have to get
for her.
All right. Yes, well, thank you for calling
my,
in today.
My eighth of spades and nine of spades. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, ladies.
Thank
you.
You
too. Awesome. All righty. And now we're on to area code 330. 330. Okay.
Hello.
Who are we talking to today? Hello.
My name's Nicole.
Nicole?
Okay.
Yes. Nice. Hi, Nicole.
Hello.
Do you have a particular question in mind today?
Let's see. I'm newly engaged to be married. I just moved to Maryland. I was just wondering, what do you guys see coming up for me?
Okay. Also, Kelly does Atlantean card readings, too. Do you have a preference?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a preference which reading, or you can have both, I guess. I don't know. Maybe
I
you know, Kelly
we,
would be.
We got time enough here to do both. So, yeah, I'm going to say while Maggie is, have you got a question so you can be focusing on that? Because while you're doing the shuffle on the cards and laying those out, it's like I'll get her birth card.
Okay, do you have a particular question or just general?
Just the general, I guess. Yeah, because I'm like
Alrighty.
I said, I don't know what to say because like I guess I was wondering what's going to happen after my marriage. You guys see kids or whatever.
Okay, hang on.
Okay.
I'll set it up and we'll see.
Okay.
And then what if you can tell me the month and day you were born? It's like we'll look up your birth card too.
Okay, my birthday is 7/23/1984.
7/23/84. You're the tiger.
No,
the tiger was 86. You're the rat. There we go. Cause I was going to say my oldest one was born 84. Wow. Mm. Okay, so you're coming up on your 30th. Let's see. This is, okay, it's July 23rd. Okay, now that is a cusp day. So the one thing I'm going to ask is, do you know if you are a Cancer person or a Leo person?
I don't know. Is there a certain time? I know time I was born.
In this case, it's not. Yeah, it's not so much a time factor. It's if you've ever had an official like astrology reading, where they tell you. Because for example, I'll use this one because it was so amazing. There was a friend that we'd known that for literally for all her life she thought she was Virgo until she finally got an official astrology reading. And the astrologer pinpointed she was 4 minutes into being a Libra. So she kind of all those years of therapy down the drain. It's like, I'm really a Libra because with the sun signs, it's like, okay, so I'm not sure of that one. So I won't give you the planetary ruling card, but I will tell you that you're five of clubs. And five of clubs people, let's see. I'm saying you're still in your 29th year here. We'll just kind of look real quick. Because I'm thinking Maggie's got stuff ready there for you, and I don't want to make her wait there. Okay, this year, what you've been focused on, and it's like, and this will be this will be like coming up, I'll say, to the end of your year, because your personal birth year with this deck starts from the day you're born. It starts on the day you're born, so it's like it's your personal birthday, and then you move through. You have 52 days.
Okay.
You got it. Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, you're ready. Okay, tell me about the trees, Maggie.
Alrighty, the first card I get is represents the earth and the past source of the situation. And I have the or heather reversed. And it stands for transformation. Let me turn it right side up so I can read it, and partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see how it reads for you. See, for reversed, it reads, a partnership may be moving faster than you feel comfortable with. Perhaps there needs to be a stronger foundation before moving on. You or the other person may be expecting more than the other can return, and this may lead to conflicts. Take a step back and allow things to progress naturally without trying to direct everything too much. Take it day by day. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the second one represents the sea and what is currently upon the shore. And then we have Black Swan again, which is adversity sacrifice. That's a popular card today. Apparently people are learning to...
What's the energy with that?
Yeah. And it means sometimes no matter how hard you try to avoid trouble, it finds you anyway. This is the natural order. You are facing a wound, either physical or emotional, and it is a completely unavoidable situation. This loss may be connected to your being in the service of another, but even injury from a noble act of self-sacrifice is painful. You may be dealing with a backstabber. In this inevitable situation, your focus should be on doing damage control after the fact and then healing. This is the harsh reality of life. Just get through this obstacle, and once you have reached it, it cannot be undone, only dealt with.
Okay.
Then the next one represents the sky and how the situation will manifest in the future if the present course is maintained. And this is Woodbine. This is a really cool card. And Woodbine reads, secrets will be revealed. It actually stands for clarity and focus. And it says, secrets will be revealed. There are things that have been hidden, but the way is opening before you. You're in a good position to discover inner knowledge that was veiled before. Your confidence is high, and you may be feeling like you can do anything, of course. If you believe it, you probably can. Patterns previously lost in the shuffle are now coming into view, and the pieces seem to be fitting together like puzzle pieces. If you feel you are at the event horizon of discovering the reasons for a situation, look to the heart of the matter. You may notice events trying to attract your attention away from your real goal. You must work to distinguish what's false from what's real. If you can avoid distractions and remain focused, you will find the secrets to your heart's desire at the center of yourself. And then the final card represents the dragon's fire of transformation, the powerful influence behind every aspect of the situation. And we get Hawthorn, which is tension, an obstacle. And it says, Hawthorn warns of a brief period of tension in your path, whether financial, personal, or romantic issues. You will likely face some disruptions and anxiety while trying to reach your goals. They will seem like greater difficulties than they really are. Just watch your back and be careful. Don't allow depression to set in because things aren't going your way. Fear will only make good judgment difficult and become a chink in your armor. You must act with wisdom, and you may need to wait out the situation rather than act rashly. You may be facing a test and be in a situation where applying force won't solve your problems. There are no shortcuts, but if you work through it with finesse, this time of difficulty will bring a rosy outcome.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep. Thank you.
Sure, you're welcome. Okay.
I'm gonna add a little bit here, just a little bit with what you'd asked also. Okay, so this is your 29th year right now, and you're finishing up the cycle. You've had the Ace of Hearts as your long range card all year, so it's like, you know, kind of like looking, it's like looking for love or, you know, starting new love, you know, that kind of stuff. Where you're currently at is in the last 52 days, which is the Neptune time period, and you've got the seventh stage there. Some of the things that go with that, it could be either be about difficulties at work or possibly illness related to, you know, either like travel or medicines, you know, or something secret. Or you might have worry or some unrealistic expectations. There might be some other negative habits, you know, either health-wise or something that might be the cause of any difficulties during this period. But the spiritual nature of the confirmation suggests that, you know, you could really attain a high state of awareness and freedom of mind just by really being honest with yourself, looking within for the answers to the problems you face. Okay, so there's an acknowledgement, you know, nod to that there's things, you know, some things you're facing. What I will say is, you know, I'd really like you to call back, like, you know, after, like right after your birthday, and we'll kind of look at this more. But what you've got coming up after you turn 30, that whole, there's going to be a major shift. You're gonna go from this Ace of Hearts energy in the long range to a Queen of Spades energy. And it's like, it's really about self-mastery. There's, you know, a lot of self-mastery there. Right out the gate, you've got like two of hearts and a four of hearts in Mercury. You've got a five of hearts in Venus. You've got, you've got some stuff happening with the threes in Mars, you know, dealing with men, three of spades, three of diamonds. And then you've got that king of hearts again, along with a four of spades in Jupiter. You know, so you've really got, you've got some amazing cards that I'll say coming up, you know, plus some things that are going to be closing for you next year, too. So, you know, do make sure, you know, please call us back, especially, like, after your birthday. And just kind of like, you know, I'm just going to say get through the, you know, the end of this year, this last 52 days before your birthday, and just kind of, you know, be in awareness, you know, because the sevens are the cards of faith, and that is, like, you know, the highest of the seven, you know, so, like, really, you know, have a little faith and love come to you. It's like a spare song. But, you know, there's going to be some good things, but it's like a lot of that has to do with your free will and just how it's kind of like what Maggie was talking about in the first hour, is like, you know, with the pranic tube and all that, about what we think about and how it determines which direction we go and how our life unfolds. So it's like, you know, and if you didn't get a chance to hear the first part of that, you know, go back into archives and check that out. But, you know, really and truly, it's like you have a lot of say, you know, over what direction your life goes, because you've got a lot of free will to practice. Okay? And I hope that helps.
All right. Thank you.
Alrighty. Thank you. Thanks for calling in today.
No problem.
All right. Have a good one. All right. And this next one here, we have a Skype caller. So we are all ones here. So we're going to get a surprise and find out who is on with us. Okay.
Hi.
Caller,
yeah, it's just... It's a Skype caller. Hello.
Hello.
Who are we talking to today?
Who might we be speaking with?
Boy, my name is Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Sharon?
Hello, with an S.
Sharon. With an S, all righty.
There you go.
I'm the tree of Sharon. Okay, Maggie does tree reading cards, and I do a little bit of birth cards, so if you give me your month and day, I'll work on that, and then she will ask your question and get the cards laid out for you, and we'll do a little bit of both.
Do you want me to ask the question first?
Sure.
Okay, Sharon. Do you have a particular question you'd like to ask?
Yes. I'm looking for employment. Do you see me landing one? I have two jobs pending right now. I'm a stress machine, sorry. And I hope you got the backstabbing card in every reading. I noticed that. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I
every reading,
that.
I'm like, man.
Yeah.
Isn't
that
funny? It's like it's
going to fall in the cards into you.
Isn't that funny? But right. See in the cards, are happy times coming? Am I going to have a new life now, start a new beginning? Am I going to get one of these jobs? Or if not, when do you see me getting one? How's that?
There you go.
And you want my birthday?
Yes, please.
September 1st. I'm a Virgo.
Cool. All right. And
yeah.
How old are you currently? It's like, because that's
I'm 48. I'm going to be 49 September 1st. So I'm 48 currently.
Currently 48. Okay. So September
1st. In a heart of a 20-year-old. No.
You are. Exactly. There you go. Okay. Wow. You are the blessed card. Your birth card is the 10 of diamonds. So a lot of blessings.
I don't feel blessed. I don't feel blessed right now, dear. I'm still unemployed. I've been looking for 5 months.
Wow. You know what? I'll tell you, though, honestly, that's not a long time. I mean, we've talked to people who have been looking literally for years, but, you know, whatever the energy is going up, people are finally starting to, people are starting to find jobs, which is great, you know. And
I know.
It's like, you know, it does indicate there's a shift is coming. And it's like, part of it is our Wednesday guide, Ron Cole is there, you know, astrologer. He tells us about, you know, the set of the planets. And, of course, I could go into a whole litany about him. He is amazing and awesome. And if you haven't heard him on Wednesdays, please listen in. He says the worst thing that ever happened to astrology was the newspaper columns, because people think that little bit is all it is. But he's talking about...
I believe that. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't believe I'm a Virgo. I mean, I am a Virgo, but my rising sign is Gemini. It has to go with your whole chart. I understand that perfectly.
Right. Yeah.
I know. My one girlfriend at work used to do it. Oh, today's going to happen. I know. For reading
all
that little paragraph. I have never read that stuff. I understand.
Right. Well, he does say right now that the hard planet right now that is in retrograde, Saturn is in retrograde. And, of course, Saturn, he says in when it squares Pluto, it's like, you know, that's the kind of energy that literally shifts government and that kind of stuff. It's a big energy.
People change their minds. I know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You know, so it's like, yep. Okay, let's see what Maggie's got for you.
All righty. The first card, let's see if we can get by without the backstabbing card this time.
Isn't that funny?
Hey,
it did happen in my past, though.
You get the same cards. Okay,
it happened in my past.
It must be something that's going around for everybody to deal with lately.
I know.
All this stuff is
back to life.
Off.
But that's what you say, and it's the truth. But I just went through that, that's why.
Oh, okay. Well, the first card represents the earth, and the past source of the situation is a spindle or obligation and discipline. And it reads, you will need self-discipline in order to stay focused and complete your tasks at hand. The work that you do is very important and honorable, and you can take pride in your accomplishments. Your skills are needed by your family and perhaps even by your community, and your abilities have the potential to boost your status. You may be up for a promotion, more responsibility, or even a new career. A new opportunity may come as a big surprise or a sudden change, as the wheels seem to have been set in motion by outside forces. Your ability to make something out of nothing may benefit you as you attempt to roll with these changes in an unselfish manner. That is the past. Okay, and then the second one represents the sea and what is currently upon the shore. And for that we have the Ruis, or Elder, that's E-L-D-E-R. And that is a card that deals with consequence or regret. Let me find it here. And it reads, you or someone else may be feeling regret over a deed that is not a proud one. A situation may have caused you embarrassment or didn't work out the way you planned.
Yeah. It's not me. It's the person who did it to me. Go on. Yeah, go on.
If you wronged someone else or were wronged yourself, karma may be circling around to take care of the matter. Remember, if you have made an unwise choice that harmed someone else, you can only take responsibility for it, make atonement, and then learn so you don't make similar errors in the future. Once you have made things right, holding on to regret is a waste of precious energy. If someone wronged you one way or another, he or she needs to be confronted, allowing him or her an opportunity to be forgiven and you to heal. Elder can also herald a new residence, a new career, or health changes, all situations of moving on. Very good.
Can I say something? Honest to God, I haven't harmed anybody. So it's about the person who did it to me, isn't it? It's got to be.
Yes. And so
okay, because, oh, my gosh, I haven't heard anybody honest from the bottom of my heart. Okay, on my grandmother's grave, I haven't done anything. Okay, go on.
All right, it's the other person. And then the next one represents the
guy. Are you saying that this person may, can I say something? Are you saying this person may reach out to me? Or does it mean that?
What you need to do is at least present the opportunity for them to reach out to you.
I want to get a job first. Oh. I can't do it without a job. I feel like a no. Okay, but I just wondered, it's still eating at him, isn't it?
Apparently, but it seems like you're going to be moving on with a new career.
I know.
Too. Yeah, very cool.
Because it hurt me deeply, but go on. It did. I'm sorry. Even though someone hurt you at work,
yeah,
it's professional, but it still hurts. It's still
right.
Personal. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Because your feelings are
you know, legitimate. It's straight out of The Lion King. Did you ever see The Lion King where Rafiki like whacks him on the head with a stick and he goes, it's in the house, and he rubs his head and says, yeah, but it still hurts. You know? Same thing, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
It was a bad one. It was out of the blue, and it was totally lies and deception. But let's move on. I'm over it now.
Okay.
I've healed. It's been 5 months. Go on.
Okay. The next one represents the sky and how the situation will manifest in the future if the present course is maintained. And with that, we get broom or reed, and that is dealing with cleansing and vitality. A remedy for your difficulties is at hand. If you are ill at ease, you must take action. First, clearing away physical and emotional toxins in order to protect your vitality. In order to heal the body, take a holistic approach, healing mind, body, and spirit together. You may be someone whose purpose is to bring healing to others. Either way, remember, any wise healer, whether mainstream physician or spiritual healer, always tempers healing with common sense. Shelter the spirit with the power of hearth and home, and allow harmony to shelter the body and mind.
And you are right, because since I've been off, I've been smoking again, and I've been drinking, like, you know, a bottle for two people. I drink like one of those bottles a week. That's a lot for me. That means I do need to intox my body. I've been doing things that I've never, isn't my normal self. Does that make sense?
Right. You need to confront this person that hurt you, and you need to, like what I had said previously earlier in the episode was to see your situation. Yeah.
But you know, it's so different. It wasn't the backstabbing card. He feels it's more of a remorse card. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Well,
it doesn't matter.
I guess I'm gonna add some to Maggie's here, because this is really interesting. Because where you're at in your year, you're in the Uranian time frame, which started about May 20th, and then the very last time will be the Neptune. Your Neptune time will start 7/11. That store chain. What you've got in Uranus is the Nine of Hearts and the Four of Spades, and then in the Neptune time, it continues with the Four of Spades. And this is, I was sitting there listening to her and going, wow, you're going to be amazed, because it dovetails right exactly with what Maggie says. The Nine of Hearts and Uranus is unexpected circumstances can bring disappointments in work, love, romance, and with friends during this period. Jealousy and scandal may occur at work. Good friends may seem hard to come by during this Nine of Hearts Uranian time period. Do not expect much from others right now. Look to any sort of humanitarian work for inspiration and healing. It's entirely possible.
But this happened 5 months ago. But
right.
Go on.
Yeah, it's like you're calling in for an hour. Sometimes things fester, and you got to lance them and get the puff pocket out. I mean, it's like, you know, even emotionally. But it's entirely possible you've outgrown some of the friendships, and now's the time to let them go. See those endings as completions and let go willingly if that's being called for by the situation. New and better relationships are just around the corner. It's a really good influence for spiritual matters, for learning new spiritual information, for attending classes, so on. Just keep in mind that, you know, the positive card, which you've got, like the Four, is going to offset any problematical situation. So what the Four has to say in this Uranian time period is, it brings success in your work, real estate, land,
that's
or
what
farming.
I wanted to know, if those are cards of work.
Perfect.
Because I'm trying to land one, but go on.
Absolutely is. Yep. Or service organizations. It can also mean satisfaction in gaining wisdom or in some form of intuitive development. This is a strong influence for getting a home or a house. You've got strong intuitive powers, which you do, and you can use them profitably. It's a great influence for professional psychics and or those using their intuitive gifts. Relations with coworkers are good now and contribute to your success. Thinking, you know, it's like, yeah, this job, you're right, there's a job right around the corner there. It's a strong grounding force that's going to bring satisfaction in this period, regardless of what card appears at that Nine of Hearts card. The net and overall result is going to be satisfaction and contentment. And then with it continuing into the Neptune period, so it's going to, you know, continue to the rest of your year, it indicates satisfaction in a business journey or to some distant or foreign, you know, business or work. It can indicate a happy vacation or trip, and travel is particularly favored. It can bring the realization of a desired professional goal. Your health is good.
There you go.
Productivity.
There you go.
The order of the day, intellectual work, and putting ideas to work is also favored. So it looks really positive. So you're right. You're going to get one of the two, and it's like, you know, really just, I'm going to say, just hold that, you know, just hold that thought of going, thank you, God, that, that this is coming. I really appreciate it, you know.
I know.
I like what Maggie said, using that product too.
And with regards to your emotional state, the final card of this with Dragon's Fire of Transformation and the powerful influence behind every aspect of the situation is the Hawthorne card, which is obstacle and tension. And it says, Hawthorne warns of a brief period of tension in your path. Whether financial, personal, or romantic issues, you will likely face some disruptions and anxiety while trying to reach your goals. They will seem like greater difficulties than they really are. Just watch your back and be careful. Don't allow depression to set in because things aren't going your way. Fear will only make good judgment difficult and become a chink in your armor. You must act with wisdom, and you may need to wait out the situation rather than act rashly. You may be facing a test and be in a situation where applying force won't solve your problems. There are no shortcuts, but if you work through it with finesse, the time of difficulty will bring a rosy outcome.
Okay.
Okay? Does that help?
So is that saying pretty much in this reading that a job is
right.
coming? It does say that.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. With mine, with the four spade work cards, it's like, yes, and it's like, and I think that's what Maggie's saying too. Is that what you're seeing with that, Maggie?
Yes, I would, but it's kind of like a test for you, and it's you'll get through it. It's like how to essentially, like we had discussed with the pranic tube, and
yeah,
and getting your steadiness, to become balanced, and don't go off on either tangent.
Okay.
All right.
Anything else?
That's all I'm getting.
That's it for the day. But you know what?
Thank you.
Because we have free will, it's like, call back and let us know how the job went. Let us know which one to get.
I know. Thank you so much. Listen,
that's exciting.
Have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
All right. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And this will be in archives for any of you that didn't already know that. So you can come back and listen to this because I know sometimes it goes fast. All right. We got a couple more going here. We got another Skype caller here. And this looks like Rosa Maria.
Hi, how are you?
Pretty
good. Hi, Rosa Maria. How can we help you today?
About our relationship/friendship that I'm interested in, what you can pick up. But there was a little argument yesterday, but I didn't get mad about it. So I was wondering about it. What he's up to. Because I know he's up to something good.
Okay, let me see what the cards say, and you can talk to Kelly.
All righty, let's see. And what I do is the birth cards is just, what's your month and date, and we'll figure it out from there.
12/31.
October, I didn't catch that second part, I'm sorry. There's kind of an echo.
12/31.
Okay.
December 31st.
December 31st. Okay, darn. All right, this is one of those, I'll say, special days. You're the Joker card, and it's like you literally can be any card in the deck. So it's, just based on that, it's hard to do, it's hard to do a card reading from this, but what I can say generically is I know you're a Capricorn. Capricorns are very hardworking people. You tend to be like, I'll say the list maker. I've seen that even in the young ones. It's like they have this list of the day. They write it down. They go down their list. They check it off. You're very organized. You're very thorough. Sometimes that can make it hard. Let's see. How does the expression go? It's hard to plan your love life like you plan a college course. Okay, something along those lines.
Yeah.
It doesn't quite end out the same. Oh goodness. But for hardworking Capricorns, it's like they're always, there's. Well, my grandmother used to say, "There's a lid for every pot. There's a pot for every lid." And it's part of it is. I'll say is the manifesting is learning how to, how to draw that person in. It's like, I think that's going to be one of our upcoming shows is this comes up a lot, either with finances, with the jobs or with relationships. And I think we're going to work on doing one of the shows where, we'll take you through a grounding, how to ground and run your energy, and then how to do what we call weed the garden. And it's like, can get rid of all the energy within the body, within the, the garden. That's not your
I'm back,
and, it's like, and then how to. Okay, there you go. Maggie's on. Here we go.
Okay, let's see. For the first card we have for you, which we had said previously, it represents the earth and the past source of the information. And I'm getting aspen, which means courage and steadfastness. Let's find it here. And it reads, you are in a position where you will have an opportunity to face and to conquer your fear. You will see a way to use your feelings of apprehension as a friend. You will find courage within you for the battle ahead, and you will be steadfast in your decisions. You will find great strength as you battle your own dark side, and you will need those lessons in order to progress as you embrace your warrior spirit. You will undergo a test of your mettle. Remember, when a person has courage, it doesn't mean that they are never afraid. It means that they are able to overcome that fear in order to do what simply must be done. Sometimes the right thing to do isn't the easy thing. And then the second card we have represents the sea and what is currently upon the shore. And we have Rowan, and Rowan deals with protection and defense. And it reads, Rowan assures you that you are surrounded by protection from negativity, enchantments, or other danger. There may be forces attempting to thwart your efforts, but you are under a divine shield guarding you against their malice. Listen to your inner voice. It's guiding you to avoid pitfalls. You must pay attention to what is going on around you, but by activating your abilities and insight, you should have no trouble keeping your senses about you right now. You are strong, warded, feeling confident, and safe. Just remain aware, realizing that there may be trouble nearby, but it's easily avoidable. Any conflict you do encounter will be temporary. And then the third position represents the sky and how the situation will manifest in the future if the present course is followed. And we have Hawthorn, which represents obstacle and tension. Hawthorn warns of a brief period of tension in your path, whether financial, personal, or romantic issues. You will likely face some disruptions and anxiety while trying to reach your goals. They will seem like greater difficulties than they really are. Just watch your back and be careful. Don't allow depression to set in because things aren't going your way. Fear will only make good judgment difficult and become a chink in your armor. You must act with wisdom, and you may need to wait out the situation rather than act rashly. You may be facing a test and be in a situation where applying force won't solve your problems. There are no shortcuts, but if you work through it with finesse, the time of difficulty will bring a rosy outcome. And then our final placement represents the dragon's fire of transformation and the powerful influence behind every aspect of the situation. And that brings us Holly. And Holly is challenge and justice. And it reads, challenges are ahead. You will be tested, face difficult trials, or find yourself in a situation where justice will be served one way or another. The challenge placed in your path will test you to your limits. How you face that test is entirely up to you. You will need to draw upon your knowledge and skills to remain balanced. But if you are willing to walk through the fire, you'll emerge with greater strength and wisdom than you had before. When the wood of holly is heated in flames, it becomes tempered and hard as iron. Okay, so it sounds like a learning situation for you.
In what way? Because yesterday he had to open his big mouth yesterday, saying that to leave him alone in front of everyone. So I I challenged it. Face to face with him, and I didn't care if anybody was in the car with him or anything, and there was somebody in the car, because there was... They were doing like a run, like an errand, and he got mad at me because I faced him and I challenged him in front of someone.
Well, that makes total sense.
And then he came back about an hour. I don't know how he knew I was still there at the bar. And I'm like, he came up to me, he goes, "You're done with me, and it's closed now," with the door. I'm like. And, like, I didn't believe a word he said, and I'm, like, not arguing with him. I'm like, whatever, dude. I'm not going to argue because I cursed him out before I left the vehicle. Because I kind of, in English, so I kind of challenged him. And I didn't care because I knew the other person, wouldn't understand the English words I was, because we're in a different country. I'm in Europe. And so I didn't care if the guy understood what I was saying in English to him. So that's the challenge, I guess.
Interesting.
I guess that was a challenge or the lesson or whatever.
It sounds like it. And so you just kind of think about what transpired and your feelings and reactions and what happened. And then that's an excellent lesson to study.
So I guess that was it, I guess.
Pardon?
I guess that was the lesson or the challenge or difficulty, I guess.
Yeah, it seems to be that was it. Did you get anything on it, Kelly?
Not a lot. I'm kind of kind of doing chat there and kind of spacing a bit. But it's like, yeah, I'm just kind of pondering back there on what you're saying with the tree reading. It's like, I would say appropriate action. I mean, what she's doing is the situation is okay. You know, it's like, and certainly we have free will. You know, it's like definitely we want to exercise that in any given situation.
And you don't go into fear, and you maintain your balance, and you just be you.
Yeah, because I was trying to get a car for tomorrow night, like to go out, and I'm like, he won't give it to me, because he's blocking me not to do anything. So I guess that's what it is. And that's when he said no in front of somebody to me, and I cursed him out in English. And he got mad at me for it. Oh my God, phew. Well, he had that one coming. Because what he said in the bar, to leave him alone, to forget about me, and I won't say what else he said, so I went right back at him.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That seems to be a good description.
Well, I feel like, yeah, you know, and I was going to say, you know, we'll have this, you know, this episode will be in archives, you know, when we're off air, and I would highly encourage you, you know, to go back and kind of like, you know, listen to the first part again. Maggie was explaining, you know, about the pranic tube and, you know, about our individual sovereignty, you know, that kind of stuff, and it's like really go back through and try that exercise, you know, and, you know, try it maybe a couple times a day, you know, or even three, something like that, like you eat a meal, you know, just kind of do that, run the energy a little bit, and try it on for size and see how it feels, because I think there's, you know, she's right in the sense of, you know, there's a lot of healing to be had with that, okay? A lot of
Because I knew I should have cursed at him, but he pushed that button right at me. So I'm like, I was calm about it. I'm like, dude, come on. It's like, you're trying to block me, and then you're not doing anything. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, whatever.
Right.
You don't want to be with me? Give me the car, and I'll go myself.
Right, exactly, yeah. You know, and it's one of those things where if you can't get a card, it's like, you know, God gave us two legs. We are never without transportation. Two places.
Yeah, it's a little bit far for me.
Yeah.
It's outside of town.
Because I don't know, you know, cause some places, you know, you have like either, you know, you have like bus lines or, you know, things like that, or you have things that will, you know, go by. So you can get down to like, you know, one of the bus stop pickups or something like that. You know, there's always a way to get around. There really is, you know, where there's a will, there is a way. There really is.
Yeah, but he's not going to communicate with me anytime soon because I won't call him right now at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. And
yeah.
Thanks for calling.
You know, and give us, yeah, I was going to say, and you know, call back in and kind of, you know, keep us posted on how things are going, you know, because, and we do have different readers, different days, and like Bonnie was on here earlier, you know, and how she was, you know, she was getting some messages. So, I mean, Maggie was reading her, but she was also giving Maggie messages. So, you know, so we have people who do, you know, the messages from the other side, too. So it's like, you know, do call back in and check out and get some of those, okay?
Got you. So, but he won't pick up that he's going to communicate with me anytime soon about the situation, I guess.
Eventually. Yeah, I'm going to say there might be a... I'm
he needs to cool down.
Period's going to happen. Yeah, exactly.
I guess in a couple... Yeah, because that's why I'm not calling him, let him cool down a little bit. Because I know how he ticks. So I guess the next couple of days,
space.
I guess you'll... Yeah. I'm sorry?
Give a little space. Yep. I would definitely do that one.
Yeah, if he gives me space, too. If he stops haunting me, checking me up. So, all right, I give him, I guess, a couple more days. If he doesn't communicate with me in a couple more days, he's done. Because this is going on too long. All right.
Oh, and we're down to 90 seconds here, guys.
Oh, my God.
Thanks.
Alrighty.
Okay, bye.
Well, thank you for calling in. And, you know, do call back in. Call back in again. And Maggie, it's like, I want people to tell you to tell people how to get a hold of you, because I know you have a special email, this for cards. So tell us how to get a hold of you when you're not on air.
It's voice. What do you call those? Hyphen? Hyphen of hyphen the hyphen trees. So it's a voice of the trees with little hyphens in between them because it has to be one word at excite.com.
excite.com. Okay, I'm typing this in the chat room there. Okay. So it's voice. Okay, your email is voiceofthetrees@excite.com. Okay. So, guys, if you liked what you heard today, you know, Maggie does pranic tube stuff. I'm going to, you know, it's like she's also a Reiki 1 and 2 person and had both those levels. And she does getting into the cards, the voice of the tree cards. So it's like that's really cool. And I'm sure she'll be back on with us. We've had a lot of fun today. And they're going to give us the NASA countdown. We've got about 10 seconds. So
it was fun. Thank you, Kelly.
Yep,
I enjoyed myself immensely.
Oh, I'm so glad you came on with us. I'm so glad Bonnie gave us the time. This was just really awesome. So we thank all of our callers and all of our listeners for you guys in archives and live and wherever you listen to. It's like, join us again on Monday. I think we got a different show, a different week lined out next week. It's like, I know we've got a mother-daughter team coming on who are doing like readings of their medical intuitives. You know, one's a medical intuitive and one's I think the spirit message stuff, so it's like it's going to be really interesting. I'm not sure if we got the regular lineup. I'm not sure if it's going to be Bonnie and Susan on Monday. We're kind of juggling. It's summertime, and people are taking vacations, so we're kind of going week to week and going. It's kind of like tune in today and find out who's on, because we probably just posted the show the night before when we found out who's on. So.
Right.
it's one of those. It's a Baskin Robbins day. It's like, guess what flavor you're going to get today, because we don't know either. It's like, tune in and find out.
Roll with
the flow. Exactly. Oh, golly. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And, you know, one of the things I hope that people take away from this is, like, you know, we kind of would like people to try this, you know, to try the exercises, to try the pranic tube. You know, and one of the things when I was listening, Maggie, that I was, you know, it's like, you know, because you said one at a time, you know, bring it up to the bottom, bring it up to the top. One of the things I remember you told me was to bring it up at the same time, like simultaneously. And I don't know if we got to the, you know, so it was really a different sensation to bring it up from the bottom and the top at the same time.
Right,
you know,
that's what
heart.
I was doing.
And, right. Yeah,
that's the one
okay,
that I
right.
invented.
Yeah,
and the one
I know.
That I
and
used
like
to be chemtrail.
It really is a different energy when you do that. And then the other one was, and I don't know if we got to it, is explaining the octahedron in the brain and how that spins. So it's like if we didn't get that to, you know, to that this time, maybe we can cover the octahedron next time, because that would be really cool. And
oh,
by that time, I'll have figured out how to how my download thing works, so I can download music and convert it to audio files, and we'll actually have the music you wanted. So yeah, this will be better.
Okay, because the octahedron is really great for protection.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Well,
thank you so much for having us.
And oh yes, and you know, thank you, Bonnie, thank you, Dilly, again, thank you to our callers, thank you to our listeners, thank you to the folks who listen to us in archives, and
thank you, universe.
You know, we will. Yes, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, universe. You know, thank you, all the beings that are, because we are all connected. Again, you know, I keep some of those, you know, I want some of those Disney songs so bad just for the lines. It's like, you know, because we are all connected to each other in a circle, in a hoop that never ends. And it's like, it's so true. We are all connected to each other on this little rock and this little planet. And not just that, it's like to the universe. It's like we are connected to everything that lives, whether it's seen or unseen. And we only see about, what is it, about 10% of what the actual visible world is about.
No,
we only see
1%. 1%.
Oh, we only see 1%. Oh, golly, that's worse. Okay.
I know.
We see less than I thought. Okay, we're waiting for the other 99%.
Wow. That's where the Hoffers hang out.
40
has
ever
seen.
No, I think that's the first time I've... I was gonna say, you know, and that's the first time I've ever heard you like say that, you know, the height of them is like, you know, if they were incarnated, they'd be like 4 feet high. And I'm thinking, you know, Maggie, have you ever seen those things on the giant skeletons they have unearthed? And it's like, it's a, I mean, it's an archaeological dig. It's like, and they found these, huge, and I do mean huge, skeletons that are, you know, they look humanoid in all different continents on the planet. And it's like, you know, people sit there and go, oh, well, this is a hoax and that's a hoax. And I'm going, you know what? I don't think they can create that many hoaxes. I'm sorry. You know, when you get a skeleton that's like, you know, 30, 40 feet tall, you know, when you've got on their excavating and they're crouching by the skull, and you go, this, you know, the guy could fit inside the skull.
So I know.
That's a pretty dang big person.
Yeah, that's huge. So it's like we're like,
yeah, I was gonna say, are you sure they haven't been incarnated?
No, not
they
the
may
Hothers.
Have been here eons ago.
Not the Hothers. They vibe too high for this stuff.
Right.
But they're here to help. Oh, I have to tell you the story about the Hothers and the Octurians.
Oh,
are we
yeah,
still on air?
Please, yeah. Well,
okay.
You know, we're recording. This will be an archive, so this is awesome. Yeah.
Okay. The Octurians are kind of like the, oh, man, they're like the hottest warriors in the entire universe. They have the most advanced weaponry.
Used to be, huh?
Nobody can,
wow.
Nobody can out to weapon the Octurians, and they're very peaceful. And they're kind of like a
wow.
Star Trek assignment where they go around and maintain
cool.
peace in the entire universe, and they've been at it for millions of years.
Years.
And so the Hothers wanted to come in and work with us to help us. And the
right.
Hothers have absolutely no defense whatsoever, because whenever they need a vibe they don't like, they just disappear. They just go off into, you know, a higher vibe. And so,
you know,
they,
I have an affinity with that. I do that too.
Yeah, so it was arranged for the Arcturians to protect the Hothers. And when the Arcturians went to the portal at the edge of the galaxy for the Hothers to come in, when the Hothers came in, their ships were like, as the Arcturians described it, they were like seashells. That they didn't even
wow.
have, like, a pea shooter or a slingshot. They had absolutely zero defense, which was just mind-boggling to the Arcturians. So
wow.
the Arcturians look out really well for the Hothers, because they're responsibility. And, you know, they protect them tremendously.
They got to buy. It's like, if anybody needed bodyguards, it's these people. We can't believe it. It's like, okay, fine, we'll be their bodyguard. Cool. That's awesome.
The Arcturians. Oh, yeah. It's very interesting. I absolutely love these stories.
Wow. That is
They're so...
Is that some of the stuff from, like, the Tom Kenyon site? Is that where that's at? Or what do you run across these? These are so cool.
It's called the Arcturian Anthology. It's written by Tom Kenyon and his wife, Judy Sion. I read everything
okay.
they come out with. They're just... I can't get my fill of Tom Kenyon.
Cool.
And his wife is awesome too. Oh yeah, and they in the Arcturian anthology.
Oh wow! Yeah, what's really interesting to me is there was a couple that I knew in Wyoming. I'll say eons ago. Seems like eons ago, a long time ago. When my first group of children was younger than this group of children is right now. Okay, so this has been a while. A good 20 years ago. But they, you know, they were the first ones who ever talked to me about the Hothers, and it's like, you know, I can just tell them, like, oh, okay, you know, whatever. And I hadn't really, I don't know if Tom Kenyon, you know, was, you know, doing it at that time or whatever, but somehow or other they had tapped into that energy also, and I was like going, huh, and he says, yeah, he says, there's not a lot, I mean, at that time, he's like, well, there's not a lot of information there, but, you know, it's like if you type this in or whatever, and of course, you know, the internet wasn't nearly so, you know, so big back then, because, I mean, we're talking, this was like, oh, golly, probably back, I'll say, in the 80s or 90s, you know, several years ago. But yeah, I'd heard that, and it's like, and they were just, you know, like they were like, you know, guardians, gatekeepers, you know, this kind of stuff. I'm like going, wow, that's, you know, that's really kind of cool. So, you know, I'd heard about them, but I hadn't really heard a lot about them, and I just knew that they were like ancient peoples, you know, that they were, or, you know, or ancient race, I guess, you know, not peoples, but an ancient race, and that they were, you know, attempting to help us elevate ourselves and, you know, rise our vibrations, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was just like, wow, that is really cool.
They've been at it for like 300 million years.
Wow. That's a long time. That's a really, really long time.
Ancient.
And they've evolved where they don't have weapons. That's even more significant.
I was talking about the Arcturians who've been like cruising the universe for 300 million years guarding us with their weapons.
Oh, okay. Oh, gosh.
And I'm kind of like wondering, well, I wonder if there was a mix-up with what happened to Earth. Oh, I guess kind of thing. I don't know.
There are days you wonder, isn't there? And go, who's
really
in charge down here?
Yeah,
but actually,
really, I guess we are.
Remember the old Apatostella? Remember the old Apatostella moment? It's like, who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third. And it's like, what? Sometimes I think that's Earth. Who's on second?
Yeah,
what's on
really.
And I don't know who's on third. Okay. And somebody's a shortstop and somebody else is the pitcher. Right. That kind of feels like the Earth anthology, doesn't it? We don't know what's going on. We have no clue.
Well, just like tune into your body, and your body's like an antenna, and let it talk to you.
Just get the
feelings. You know, the worst thing that is possible is to have no feelings at all. I actually went through that.
Yeah.
I had no feelings. And I'd rather feel pain than no feelings.
Right.
Yeah,
I was going to say, and you know, that's exactly what happens. That's what happens to some of the veterans, you know, and the people who like are in, you know, are in shell shock or, you know, have been in war zone situations. So it's like they literally come back and they're numb for a while. And it's like,
or the people who do antidepressants or, you know, they're really nasty drugs. They just totally get numbed out. And,
just,
and, wow.
Yeah, they zombie
then
people out.
Overrun and taken advantage of. Well, that's a whole other thing we could do.
I know.
So we should take notes.
You know, and I would love to get Rita on to talk about that because she went through that. She went through, she's got some stuff to share with us about, you know, about the drugs and about this. I mean, literally, I didn't hear from her for like 6 months, you know, and I was on, and this, I mean, this was like last year. You know, it's like she called me, you know, like January 1st, Happy New Year, you know, and then I didn't hear from her literally for like 6 months, and I just thought, oh, man, you know, she's having a great year. She's going off. She's doing this, doing that. You know, and that's, she was busy, and that's, I just figured that's why, you know, I wasn't hearing from her. When she finally got a hold of me, she was like, I have been, like, virtually unconscious for the past, I was like, as in a coma? She says, I might as well have been. She says, I got up to eat, sleep, and I went to the bathroom. I'm like, going, and she says, I was not functional. And let me tell you about the drugs. I'm like, oh, God. I was like, holy moly. So she's got some stories to share. She does. About what's
that
not good for
you. That would be a good subject matter for another show. You know, with
with
personal empowerment and drugs and, you know, how people are trying to overcome our ability to make progress. That'd be a really good subject matter. We should keep that in mind.
Yeah.
Okay, my dear, I'm going to go feed my body. It's noon here.
Sounds good.
With a grumbling tummy.
Uh-oh, it's about that time. Yep, it's about noontime where you're at. So, all righty, sounds good. All right,
okay.
Well, we'll see you again. And thank you. Thank you so much for the day.
Thank you, Kelly.
Shout out to Bonnie.
Good luck
thank you, Bonnie.
You.
It's like, I know she'll hear.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Oh,
we love you.
There you go. Love is in the airwaves. Gotta say that. That's your motto. Love is in the airwaves. So we gotta keep it there. Raise that vibration. Oh, and there's a thing with that word. I don't know if it was you told me or somebody, but it's like there's a significant thing with using the word raise because we are raising up, we are rising up, and it's like it's a trigger word. It's a trigger word for our generation, like right now. It's like because that's what we're doing is we're raising, we're rising up. And so it's like the more we can, you know, like mention it, say it, empower it, you know, that kind of stuff, because we are rising above the, you know, the plane and the place where we've been, but it's like rising up. So I'm like going, cool.
Right. Raising our vibrations is what it's all about.
Yes.
That's where it's at. Good vibrations.
Good vibration.
Good vibration. You don't want to hear me sing.
Exactly.
and the troll, chase the trolls away.
Love that. That was awesome. All right. Well, we will see you again. Take care.
Okay, too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.